Please remember that the music in this Codpast? Please. And welcome to episode 28 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episodio 28. Hi, Reza.
Hi, Craig. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Not bad, thanks.
Good. We have some feedback this week from Jackie Mojica. And Jackie says, hello, Mansion teachers. Thanks for your best program to learning English. Mm-mm. What should that be? Thanks for your best program for learning English, yeah. Perhaps.
Or about learning English.
About learning English.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. I'm taking English lessons, and at the same time, I'm practicing and learning through your website. That's good to hear, Jackie. I think this is a nice and interesting website. I like answering the exercises, or maybe doing the exercises would be better. I like doing the exercises, listening the audios and read all things about English topics.
Listening to the audios.
Yeah, remember that too after listening. In Spanish, if they're translating, they'd say
escuchar el audio. There's no preposition.
There's no preposition.
But in English, you must say listen to plus an object.
Try to imagine that as a chunk, un trozo de lenguaje. Listen to the radio, listen to podcasts. It's a very common mistake. Anyway, Jackie continues, I like doing the exercises, listening to the audios, and reading all things about English topics. Also, your site have a great and cool view.
Your site has?
Of course, has. It
a,
has.
A what?
A great and cool view. I think she's trying to say it looks cool.
Uh-huh.
Que mola?
Yeah.
It looks cool.
It has a cool look.
Has a cool look, you could say, also. Yeah, it looks cool. It has a cool look.
So
it's motivation to take your English course. I would say do your English course. You do. Thanks. Well, thanks to you, Jackie, for writing to us. And we will be putting these corrections in the show notes. So go to the show notes if you want to see your corrections, Jackie. Our second piece of feedback is from Rafael de Terrassa, which is near Barcelona, isn't it?
That's right.
Thank you for doing this. Well, you're welcome, Rafael. I'm a listener of 60 years old.
Of 60 years of age?
60 years, yeah.
If you 60 say years of age. Of 60 years of age, you have to say.
You could also say, I'm a 60-year-old listener. I'm a 60-year-old listener. And Rafael says, we say in Spanish, nunca es tarde si la dicha es buena. It's never too late to learn, perhaps?
Yeah, never too late to learn.
When I was 14, I made a course of English. Again, do. So did. I did a course of English, or I did an English course in my house of my own. Well, if it's of my own, then he and Rafael wrote the course. I think he's trying to say on my own. And be careful of confusing on my own with by myself, because many Spanish speakers say by my own, don't they, Reza?
Yeah, classic.
So classic. I did the course on my own, or I did the course by myself. And Rafael continues, there were records, rounds of vinyl. So vinyl records. He did a course on vinyl. Do you remember vinyl records?
Oh, God, yeah.
And now I'm here listening to you both. Well, that's lovely. That's lovely to hear. He says, you make this easy and fun. So, muy salados. It's funny.
Salados is kind of jokey.
Jokey. I haven't heard that expression.
Yeah, salados, jokey.
Okay.
Good fun.
It's good fun. Uh-huh. It's true that we Spanish make very mistakes when we try to speak English. Make a lot of mistakes would be better.
Yeah.
Or make many mistakes.
You can't put very with a noun. Very goes with an adjective or an adverb, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. But in this podcast, I've heard Reza or Craig saying pedastro when he should say padastro. That's probably me.
Pedastro? What's that?
Stepfather, is it?
Oh, right. Pedastro.
That's probably me. I think when we spoke about family, I said pedastro instead of padastro.
Oh, and for stepfather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've heard, too, someone saying cojones in the place of cajones.
Oh,
also,
yes.
Probably me. So, balls and not drawers.
Yes. Yes. We giddies make many mistakes, yeah. We foreigners. I mean, I've gone into a butcher's, and all foreigners, all giddies have, and I wanted to ask for pollo, but I asked for something else. We've all done that. We've all made that mistake. I didn't ask for pollo. I asked for something else, yes. We learn from our mistakes.
And I always mix up mierdo with mierda.
What's mierdo? What's mierdo? I don't know what it is, but it sounds bad.
Instead of saying I tengo mucho mierdo, I say I tengo mucho mierda.
To me, mierdo sounds like a really bad type of mierda, a really bad one.
Yeah, you're like, you yourself. Anyway, Raphael finishes with, I never get tired, thank you so much. Well, thank you, Raphael. That's a lovely message. And we're very pleased to have listeners of all ages, from children up to pensioners. On to Gramatica. Reza, we have a question that somebody wrote on Facebook. It's from Irma Nidia Mercado Zayas. I apologize if I've mispronounced your name, Irma. But Irma says, gracias por ayudarnos. You're welcome. Tengo una pregunta. ¿Cuándo se usa been or being? Been, B-E-E-N, or being, B-E-I-N-G? Yo tengo problemas con esas dos. Over to you, Reza.
Well, been, B-E-E-N, is a past participle. It's the past participle of the verb to be.
Participio.
Past participle. Been. And it usually translates into Spanish, usually, but not always, as sido or estado. On the other hand, being, which is B-E-I-N-G, and it has two syllables, dos syllabas, being, is the present participle of the verb to be, and can often be translated as siendo or estando. Now, let me give an example with a few sentences. Craig has been to many places, but he hasn't been to Disneyland yet. Have you, Craig?
No, I haven't. Not yet. I haven't been to Disneyland and I haven't seen Mickey.
Uh-huh. But you have been to many places.
I have been to a few places.
Mm-hmm. So Craig has been. That's B-E-E-N. Because after the auxiliary verb has, with the present perfect, it has to be past participle been.
So the three forms are go, went, been.
Yes. So if I say has, and I'm using the verb to be, the past participle, being, has to be the next word. It couldn't be...
being.
Yeah. I should rephrase that. It's not possible that the word is being, B-E-I-N-G, after has. No. Impossible. Has plus past participle, been. Now, here's another sentence. John is being interviewed for a job. Good luck, John.
That's present continuous.
Right. He is being interviewed. It's present continuous and it's passive, what's more. So, he is being, that's B-E-I-N-G, the I-N-G form. Él está siendo entrevistado.
He's being interviewed by someone.
Él está siendo entrevistado. Mm-hmm. So, being, as I said, siendo. B-E-I-N-G. The most important thing, I think, is to get the pronunciation right. Past participle, been, one syllable. Present participle, being, two syllables. B-E-I-N-G. Apart from that, I think if you just translate into Spanish, shouldn't be too tricky. Been, sido, estado. Being, siendo, estando. That's more or less it.
Yeah, and the pronunciation of been when it's a past participle is slightly different, isn't it? It's more B-I-N, been. I've Sorry? Been.
Oh, right. Yeah,
you wouldn't normally say I've been.
When people are
say I've been. Have you been?
Yeah, when people are speaking quickly, it comes out as Craig has been to many places.
Yeah,
we wouldn't say Craig has been. We wouldn't stress the E sound. Yeah.
Have you been? Have you been to Cuba? Have you been? Not have you been? Uh-huh. So the short the vowel sound is muy corto. It's very short. Been.
Whereas with the present participle being, we normally make an effort to stress the fact that it's two syllables and pronounce the first one as E. So being, we would normally stress the fact there's two syllables being. Of course, I say normally, but you know, people who don't pronounce their vowels very clearly might not make an effort, and that makes it more difficult if you're not a native speaker, I guess.
That's right.
But always think of the translations, sido, estado, o siendo, estando, and that should help you.
Okay, thank you very much, Reza. Moving on to Vocabulary Corner, and this week I'd like to speak a bit about technology. Now, some of you use computers, and one way I think you can improve your English is to use English as your interface on your operating system. So normally you'd get a computer and it's in Spanish, but if you change that to English, that's a good way of learning vocabulary. For example, cortar. Copiar y pegar, the three things that many people do very often. Cortar in English is cut, copiar, copy, and pegar, paste. Copy, paste, cut, copy, paste. Be careful with the pronunciation of cut, C-U-T, because many Spanish speakers pronounce it cut. No, it's the a sound, like up, up. So cut, copy, and paste. Reza, how do you say imprimir in English?
To print.
To print a document. So another technology word. Borrar.
To delete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we're talking about computers. But what about borrar when you're talking about writing by hand with a pencil?
That depends if you're a British English speaker or an American English speaker.
Right. So what would an American say?
Erase.
Uh-huh. And a British person?
Rub out.
Right. That's when you're writing by hand.
Now be careful of the nouns of those two verbs, because erase, the thing you erase with, is called an eraser. But the thing you rub out with in British English is a rubber. Mm-hmm. The same as the material, rubber is, what's rubber in Spanish?
Goma,
of course. However, in American English slang, rubber is contraception for a man. So it's the rubber thing that men put on their private parts before to have safe sex. So be careful of going into a shop in America and asking for a packet of rubbers. Next, we have two words that are sometimes confused, archivo and carpeta.
Mm.
So, what's archivo in English?
Archivo, is that a file?
Correct, yeah. Archivo is file, but carpeta...
Definitely not carpet. Not carpet.
It's not carpet.
What is carpet in Spanish?
Moqueta.
Moqueta is carpet, yeah. But what is carpeta in English?
Folder. So file and folder are sometimes confused. File, archivo, and folder, carpeta. The same as paper and obviously on your computer. Mm-hmm.
But there are other types of archivo, which in English are archive. For example, imagine you wanted to find old newspapers in a library.
Mm-hmm.
They probably keep archives. That word in English is archive.
That's right.
But when you're talking about computers, it's file.
Oh, by the way, there's also a very useful website that's full of English listenings and videos that you can watch for free. It's called the Internet Archive. Have you heard of that?
I haven't, but it sounds interesting.
It's a really good website. You can go there and find lots of material that doesn't have copyright, mm-hmm. and you can go and listen to old advertisements in English from way back in the 50s and the 60s, and there's a lot of material. It's a way of archiving or saving and protecting digital media, film, music, sound for the future, so that everything is stored in one place. It's kind of like a Wikipedia for video and sound. It's a very, very, very interesting website, internetarchive.org. How do you say in English guardar como, which is a common function when you want to...
Mm-hmm. Well, guardar, save, so guardar como, save as.
Exactly, save as. So you save a document as and then a name. And seleccionar?
Select.
To select?
Yeah.
Easy. Insertar?
Insert.
Insert or insert? Where's insert. The stress? Insert.
Insert.
Because the, stress on the, because the insert will be the noun.
Noun. The insert noun. Is the verb.
And insert, stressed on the second syllable, is the verb. Comprimir, the thing you do when your file is too large.
Condense or compress?
I would say compress.
Compress.
Compress yeah. a file. And finally, quite easy, buscar.
Look for.
I would say search.
Ah, search.
Is,
oh,
there,
okay.
is there a difference between search?
No, and you're right. It is. It's search. On computers, it's search.
On computers, yeah, it's yeah. search.
Although look for means the same thing, but in computers, they say search. That's
you know, I was searching for my keys. I was looking for my keys. I don't think there's any difference.
Yeah. But on computers, they use the word search.
Yeah.
When we're talking about IT, and what's IT?
Information technology.
Which means basically things about computers, right?
Correct. And if you work in the, if you say I'm an informatico, I would say in English, I work in IT.
Yeah.
I work in IT. And then you could specialize your particular okay. area. So I'm a program developer, I'm a software developer, I'm a designer, etc. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to run through, to recap, to revise these words again, cut, cortar, copy, copiar, paste, pegar, print, imprimir, delete, borrar, file, archivo, folder, carpeta, save as, guardar como, select, seleccionar, insert, insertar, compress, comprimir, and search, buscar. Idioms, Reza. Do you have any idioms this week?
Yes.
Last week we spoke about silly idioms, with no sense.
Illogical ones, but let's get back to easier ones, more logical ones.
Okay.
Mutton dressed as lamb. How would you describe that, Craig? Mutton dressed as lamb. First of all, you better explain mutton.
Mutton is meat from a sheep.
Mm-hmm. Like lamb, you mean?
Well, I think mutton is an older sheep.
Right, that's very important in this expression.
And I think the meat is more kind of tough, duro. If meat is tough, T-O-U-G-H, it's very hard, it's difficult to eat, it's difficult to chew, masticar. So mutton is like an older animal, isn't it?
Yeah. So mutton dressed as lamb...
Well, lamb is very soft, it's very tasty, it's very nice and quite the young animal.
Yeah. Tender, yeah?
Tender, the opposite of tough.
So if we say that, for example, I saw a 60-year-old woman and she looked like mutton dressed as lamb, what are we saying?
I would imagine she's wearing a lot of makeup, she's got maybe a short dress, high heels, mm-hmm. as we'd say maybe on the pull in English.
Mm-hmm. Ligando.
Buscando ligar. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's mutton dressed as lamb. If you can imagine an old sheep trying to look like a young sheep, like a young lamb.
Mm-hmm.
So it means when a person is trying to look younger than they are.
Like say, look at that woman over there. She's mutton dressed up as lamb. She's trying to be a younger version of herself, trying to be somebody she's not. Could you say that about a man?
It can be for a man as well. Why not?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, we seem to be more judgmental about women's appearances, so it's more commonly used with women. But that's it could true. Be a man, couldn't it?
Yeah.
What about another one to do with...
Oh, before you move on, I have a similar idiom connected to sheep.
Oh, okay.
So let me share that with you. A sheep, remember, sheep has a strange plural. The plural of sheep is sheep. So there's no S. One sheep, two sheep. But my idiom with sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing.
I was thinking exactly the same.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth.
Lobo? Wolf?
Vestido?
In sheep's clothing. Vestido con la ropa. Sheep is...
Oveja.
Oveja. Oveja.
Lobo vestido de oveja.
How would you describe that?
Well, so, wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf is a dangerous animal, you know. Mm-hmm. A wolf, in fact, likes to eat sheep. They attack sheep. So, when someone pretends to be something they're not, they pretend to be something nice, when really what they're doing is on the attack. Maybe they're even going to attack the very thing they're pretending to be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I often think of politicians. A politician could seem to be very nice, very happy to help the community and help the voters, but really they're sometimes wolf in sheep's clothing. They're dangerous, and when you vote them into government, then they start doing things which harm or hurt or damage the community.
Yeah. I've thought of one more connected to sheep, Craig.
Go ahead.
What about if I say to you, oh, you can't pull the wool over my eyes? What does that mean?
You can't deceive me, no me puedes decepcionar. Uh-huh. To pull the wool, because wool is...
Lana.
Over your eyes. You can't pull the wool over my eyes.
In other words, I know what you're doing. You can't deceive me.
I've thought of another idiom with wolves. Remember, the plural of sheep is irregular. It's sheep with no S. The plural of wolf, W-O-L-F, is also irregular. It's wolves. Mm-hmm. W-O-L-V-E-S, wolves. So I've thought of another idiom with wolves. To cry wolf.
Ah, yes.
To cry wolf.
Yes.
Do you remember the story where that came from?
Yeah, of course. All children know that.
Tell it to us.
Well, basically, there was a little boy, I think, who...
Looked after
some...
A shepherd.
He looked after some sheep. He was a shepherd. And he thought it would be fun once to pretend that a wolf was coming to attack the sheep. So he shouted, "Wolf, wolf!" So all the villagers would come and help him to fight the wolf. But there was no wolf. Mm. He just did it for fun. He thought it would be funny.
He was bored.
And he did it once or twice, maybe three times. And every time the villagers came expecting to find a wolf, and there was no wolf.
Right.
Well, what happened? One day a wolf really did come, a real wolf. And he cried, "Wolf, wolf!" But the villagers didn't come to protect the sheep.
They thought he was lying. A false alarm again.
Yeah. So the boy who cried wolf, don't say things falsely. Don't have false alarms, because when the real thing happens, no one will believe you, is the lesson.
Don't cry or complain about something when nothing is really wrong. Or don't ask for help when you don't need it, because when you do need it, nobody will help you. Mm-hmm. No one believes you.
Mm-hmm. What about, Craig, if you get caught between a rock and a hard place?
Caught between a rock and a hard place. And what's rock in Spanish?
Una roca.
Una roca, of course.
Atrapado entre una roca y un lugar duro.
Well, you're in a difficult situation, aren't you? You're I don't know. How would you explain that?
Well, for me, a hard place. What is a rock? A rock is a hard place. A rock is something which is hard. So, on one side, if you've got a rock, and the other side, you've got something which is very hard, a place which is hard, it's more or less the same as a rock.
Entonces no tienes salida.
Yeah, no tienes salida. On either side, you've got problems.
Right.
Which are more or less the same. A hard place, a hard thing, is like a rock. So you've got two different problems which are equally bad. Neither has a good solution. It's difficult to know what to do. To turn one way or the other is going to cause problems.
I've got an example. A real example. A friend of mine's working for a company. I won't mention the company, but they are treating the employees really badly. They're making their workers work for less money. Huh. They're making them work more hours. They're making them have less holiday time every year, but they can't leave the job. They're stuck in the job. They cannot change because they probably won't find another job.
So the other alternative is even worse, to be unemployed.
Well, right. So they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because if they stay in their job, they're really suffering. They're in a bad situation. And if they leave their job, they're in a bad situation.
Yeah.
Which leads me on to my my second idiom, which is Hobson's choice.
Uh-huh.
Which is quite similar. It's Hobson's choice. It's like having no real choice at all. And I checked the origins of this idiom. There was a man called Thomas Hobson, who lived in the 17th century in Cambridge. And
he was a philosopher, wasn't he? Or a thinker of some description? Scientist?
Well, according to Wikipedia, he looked after horses. He had a stable.
Okay.
I don't know what stable is in Spanish. It's a house where you keep horses. And he used to rent these horses. Alquiler estos caballos. But when you went to rent a horse, you had to take the horse nearest the door. So he used to say to his customers, you can have the horse near the door or no horse at all.
Okay.
So there was no choice. No tenía elección. You had to take the horse near the door or have no horse.
Ah.
So that became Hobson's choice.
Okay.
Hobson's choice. So a situation where you are supposed to make a choice, but really you have no choice because there's only one thing you can have or one thing you can do. It's like, what do you want for lunch? You can have soup or salad, or you can have salad or soup. What do you prefer? Yeah. Well, I've got soup and salad. It's the same.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing, be careful of choice, because the Spanish elección does not translate to election. The election does exist in English, but it's more for political elections, when you vote for people. So the translation usually of elección is choice, and the verb is to choose.
Craig, can you think of any more funny or entertaining idioms? There's one I like, which is quite common. Look what the cat dragged home. You know,
is it what the cat dragged home or what the cat brought in?
Brought in. There are variations. Many of these idioms have slight variations, like between a rock and a hard place. Some people would say between the devil and the deep blue sea means the same thing. There are variations. So look what the cat dragged in, look what the cat brought home.
So what
does it mean?
In what situation would you use that? I'm trying to think of an example.
For me,
if someone walks in the room and says, oh, look what the cat dragged in.
Yeah, like someone you're not expecting to see, or someone who you haven't seen in a long time.
But it's quite negative, isn't it?
It can be negative or it can be funny.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, imagine, for example, I said, we'll meet tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? And you go out all night tonight and you get drunk.
Yeah.
And tomorrow you have a hangover, una resaca.
Mm-hmm.
And you come about 10 minutes late to meet me, 10 past nine.
And I look
terrible. And you look really bad. I would say, oh,
worse
look what
usual.
The cat brought home. You know, like, ooh, you don't look too good. If you could imagine, when a cat finds an animal or anything in the street and brings it home, it's not going to be in a very good state.
No, a dead bird or a dead mouse is going to be bloody and horrible and disgusting.
Yeah, so it just means that someone has arrived and perhaps you didn't expect to see them. They're really late. They don't look too good. Or it's their timing is funny that they've arrived at that moment. Anything like that is look what the cat's brought home.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. Yeah, I like that too. Are you a cat person or a dog person? Which
do
you prefer?
Oh, I'm allergic to cats. Cats make me sneeze and cough and everything. Oh, dogs.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. So if you go into a house where there are cats, you start sneezing? And
usually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually. So I would never have a cat. Sorry for all the cat lovers out there, but they're not for me.
How do you feel about dogs?
I love dogs. And can I say to all my friends in Galgos 112 that I am a huge fan of the Spanish Greyhound. There's nothing like un galgo español. They're they're my favorite dogs. And my favorite dog of all is Berta. She is the queen of all Galgas. So I like Spanish Greyhounds. They're my favorite.
So hello, Berta. Does Berta listen to the podcast?
Oh, she does, yes. She speaks immaculate English.
Oh, good for Berta. Okay, that's all we've got time for this episode, so thank you for listening. And remember, please send us an email or a sound file if you have a comment or a question. And you can also send us an MP3 file if you want to hear your question on the podcast. And send your comments and questions to craig@inglespodcast.com. So craig@inglespodcast.com or belfastreza@gmail.com. belfastreza@gmail.com. Y también puedes darnos estrellas si tienes ganas y un corto reseña en iTunes. So, until next episode, thank you to Reza, thank you for listening, and it's bye for now.
Adios.
Adios, amigos. Please remember that the music in this The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.